Hi, I'm Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of the Boundless Podcast. Your financial gifts make this download possible, so I hope you'll go to focusonthefamily.com/donate. And again, thanks for helping families thrive.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Let me give you a rundown of this week's show. But first, here is an announcement. I need to make sure that you have all gone and signed up for our Save the Date emails for our event next summer, August 7th through 9th here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Come one, come all. We want you to come from all corners of the globe, even though globes don't really have corners. So we want you to make sure that you are getting your friends together and planning to attend this. But you need to save the date. You need to sign up for our Save the Date stream of updates so that you get the details as they become available. Okay? So go to boundless.org/save the date and you will be able to enter your email address and then get our update emails as they're available, because registration does not start until early next year. Okay, so that you're going to have to wait for, but when it does open, this is going to be like a U2 concert. We need you to get in and just register right away, okay? Because we have limited spaces available. I'm just saying, this is our first ever annual event, and so you're going to want to be there. That said, here is this week's show. Later on, Counselor Jeremy Keaton is going to be here to talk about how do politics come into play in a relationship? Should you get all gnarly about it, or do you just need to be a follower of Jesus, or do you need to care whether this person is a Republican, Democrat, or neutral, or whatever? So we're going to go ahead and talk about that. Then for our culture segment, we have Tyler Sexton on the show. Tyler Sexton has cerebral palsy, but is a medical doctor and basically shares his testimony as a young adult of how God really has grown him and brought him through not only the trials of his childhood and what he struggles with CP, but really getting through school and how he lives life as a young adult now and what all that means. So a really encouraging and just awesome like testimony from this guy that is getting it done, people, getting it done. So we love him. All right. But here we are for our round table to talk with three folks also about getting it done in the dating sphere. So I have got Sarah, Aaron, and Andrew. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Greetings.
Very good to have you guys. Okay. This roundtable was sponsored by a listener suggestion, like Sesame Street, by the letters
letter E.
P. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we had someone write in, and they were basically talking about what they refer to as the one bullet rule. The idea that in any church, a guy has one and only one chance to intentionally pursue a girl. And if he fails or she rejects him, he has no choice but to leave that church or give up pursuing anyone else. So kind of like, what, is he tainted goods or what? You know, like he failed once and I'm sorry, you don't have any other chances. So that's really interesting, because part of me is like, why is there so much drama in this realm in the church? I mean, honestly, I feel like either there needs to be a rule book written for this so we all are on the same page and we know what's acceptable and what's not, or we need to chuck the whole thing out and just have open season. And it's like, okay, I've asked you out 30 times and here's number 31. All right, but we have Sarah, Aaron, and Andrew here because they're going to share their own thoughts on this and experiences, all of them having run and are still running in these very vague and confusing church circles. So let's go ahead. I just want to start out by saying, okay, not that we've called it the one bullet rule or that we know what that is, but what has been your experience within the church as far as like, what have you observed as far as this trend goes?
I think that it does depend on your particular context. I've experienced, you know, situations, friendship groups, or you could even say like church communities, where it does seem like if you ask a girl out that you're pretty much ruining your chances with any of her friends, especially her close friends. Hmm. And that it's kind of, and I don't know what necessarily causes that, but it seems to me that it's kind of this, out of deference or reverence or respect for my friend, I don't want to date somebody who's dated them or date somebody who's interested in them. I mean, and I've had times where I've had girls say, well, you know, you were interested in my friend, so why are you asking me out? So I think it does exist. Yeah, that's my experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think sadly it exists as well. But to call out the females in the situation, like, I think we sometimes get a little bit too, I don't know if clingy is the right word, or jealous,
territorial.
Mm-hmm. Just Like, who cares if a guy has gone out with your friend a couple times? Yeah, it's different if they've dated for a significant period of time. I feel like that changes the rules a little bit. But for a guy to go out with a girl a couple times and then decide maybe that's not quite what I wanted and then to pursue somebody else, I feel like we do a really bad job of being territorial in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. All right, I agree with Aaron and Andrew, is that it's almost kind of like we see each other as like you get one shot and one shot only. But like Aaron was saying, like sometimes you might see when you get to know someone better, that's what dating is. It's getting to know someone better. And if it doesn't work out, then that's okay. I mean, you're not signing up to marry them on the first date. And, you know, there might be something that comes about later on in life. Like we grow from experiences and you mature in different ways. And what might have not been attracted to someone at one point, 2 years down the road, they may have grown and changed, and then you are attracted to that person. So mm-hmm. things can just mm-hmm. change over time. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's like a time frame that comes into play? Because, I mean, I think I could see where some girls are going to be leery if a guy within the span of a month basically asks every woman in the singles group out or something, you know, where it's creepy. Just like, am I just like a statistic? Or is there actually any interest here? But yeah. I don't see, like, for me, I mean, I think like what Aaron said, where girls get territorial is especially, you know, if you're asked out, but your friend likes the guy, and then you feel this loyalty of, I can't say yes because my friend likes him and this is going to be awkward. Whereas yeah. I'm just like, that's where I feel like you have to be kind of objective and be, look, if God means for it to be, mm-hmm. you know, then yeah. it's going to be. And you can't, I mean, yeah, feelings are hard to, you know, take into account and it is difficult, but still, you have to be honest. I mean, you don't know that you're going to have feelings for this person a year from now if it's not meant to be. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. One of the, well, I don't know if I'd call it a mistake, but one of the things that happened to me when I was in college, I was kind of later in my college career, and I went on this mission trip to Alaska, and there were two twins on our trip, twin girls.
I can also already see where.
Yeah, like, and I could stop right there. And so that actually after we became good friends, and we all worked at the same camp together that summer. And over the course of the summer, we were hanging out a lot, and I asked one of them out, and she wasn't interested. You know, they were a little younger than me, and so I think that age was, you know, a little bit of a problem. But then probably like 6 months later, I was hanging out with the other twin quite a bit, and she was just a really good friend. And so I asked her out, and she said no. And so, but it was this, one of those things where like a lot of people are like, I can't believe you did that. You asked, you know, two twin sisters out in the span of like 6 months. But I don't
see,
know.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
I don't either.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, seriously? It's not like you asked one out thinking she was the other one. That would have been bad. Sorry, I meant the
names.
Other twin. that would have been very not affirming. But yeah. I mean, I'm like, as long as you can keep them straight.
Yeah, I'll never forget her, like the second one. She's like, Andrew, you're like my big brother. And I said, you wouldn't want to date your big brother? And that kind of lightened the mood a little bit. But yeah, I look back at that. I don't really regret it because, you know, you don't know. Whenever you're kind of like thinking about a person, like if they'd be somebody you want to date, you don't know for sure if that would be something that would work out. And I just think we need, like especially the guys, shouldn't limit themselves to this like bullet rule. I mean, we have enough problems with getting guys to ask girls out as it is. Mm-hmm. And so I think you don't want to, as a guy, you don't want to be limiting yourself or limiting your pool or thinking, oh, I need this type of girl. I think instead we should think more broadly and think there's probably a lot of girls that you wouldn't think you would, you know, marry or would make you happy, but they really would. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's kind of the message to, I think, the guys on this question is, you know, just because she might be friends with somebody that you dated or, you know, if she says no, then you have your answer. But I don't think I would limit myself mm-hmm. in that way.
Well, and I think, too, like, how many guys do we know that have every girl they ask out go out with them? I mean, seriously, like, that just doesn't even happen. I think guys mm-hmm. are, like, way overestimating, like, you know, oh, my word, someone turned me down. No one will ever go out with me, or I'm totally just lame or damaged goods or something like that. And I'm like, unless you are, like, you know, Channing Tatum, I think you just need to be, like, real... realizing the fact that you know what, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
Yeah,
that's what I say.
Well, and I think that's a huge point. The guys need to go into this whole discussion knowing that there are going to be women that reject me, and mm-hmm. that's okay. That my job is to just be proactive, to be pursuing, And if somebody says no, then it's like, well, I just quickly move on and don't beat myself up about it. Mm-hmm. And that's just, I think, part of growing in maturity, where my worth and my value isn't based on how this particular woman's going to respond to me. And I mean, we all talk to a lot of married guys who are like, man, I'm so thankful for the girls that said no, because then when my wife came along, you know, mm-hmm. I was ready and mm-hmm. it worked out. So I don't know. I see a lot of guys that get kind of paralyzed by that. Man, a couple girls said no, and they just think, well, I guess I'm, you know, not the total package I thought I was.
Well, I mean, on the flip side of that, from a girl's perspective, I think we need to do a better job of, yeah, you may not know at this particular moment when he asks you out that you're going to marry this guy, but if he's got some qualities that you like and some that you're hoping your future husband has, then why not say yes to one or even two dates to figure it out? And maybe there is some fear there that if I say yes to this guy, then this other guy in the group that I might have more feelings for isn't going to ask me out. You know, that might play into the fear and to the reason why she says no. But I think as females as a whole, we could probably do a better job of mm-hmm. accepting invitations from guys that we know have good character, mm-hmm. But we might just be uncertain about. And that's okay. Like Sarah said, we date so that we can figure out who we want to marry. And there's only one way to get that
done. And I would think
that
the guy that you want to ask you out is going to be like, oh, good, she actually like goes out with people. Right. I mean, I would think that would encourage him, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, though, like, what do you think about women? I mean, I think our problem with, what would we say, like, you know, the stigma or whatever is of, like, going out with a guy who has already been turned down by multiple women, and then we feel like, oh, we're settling for the guy that didn't get anyone else, you know, or we feel like we're the, not even like the fifth string or whatever, but just like, oh, we're going to be, you know, give him the consolation prize or something. Do you think women wrestle with that at all? I think I've kind of been there before, where it's like, oh, no one else will go out with this guy, now he asked me out, and, you know, kind of like feeling sorry for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh, I think a lot of times in the past, I mean, I haven't been on a lot of dates, and I haven't really had a boyfriend before, but I know that there's some, you know, there's just some kind of awkward, some guys that are kind of awkward, and you're like, well, the Lord, you know, calls us to love everybody, and to, everyone needs a friend, and so sometimes, you know, you'll be kind to them, and I think that they can almost sometimes interpret that as, like, that you're flirting, or that you're interested, and I've had a couple of times where those type of guys, you know, that just, I'm not interested in them that way, have asked me out, and it's so hard, because then you feel like, did I lead them on? Did I, you know, I just crushed this poor boy's heart, and it took him, you know, months to ask me out, and then in the most graceful way I can say is, I'm sorry, I don't see you that way, but I'm glad that we're friends, and I hope that we can continue a friendship and it not be awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that women, yeah, can do that sometimes, and I'm sure that guys, Andrew, I'm sure that there's been times that you felt that same way too. It's like, well, I feel bad for her. It's almost, you know, you want to help this person, but that's not being fair to yourself. That's not being fair to your heart. And I don't think that person would ever appreciate knowing that, oh, I was their charity case. Like, they only went out with me because they felt mm-hmm. like they needed to help me.
Okay, first of all, I don't think guys ever do that. Okay. They're not ever going to ask a girl out because they feel sorry for her. Okay, let's just be honest. It's women that do that take on the projects and are like, maybe if I just go out with him once, it'll encourage him. Whatever. But yeah, no, I think that's true. Okay, but now you had a story about someone that you went out with, and now you have to kind of deal with the church scenario. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Okay, so about... I think it was about three or four years ago, I was in college, and this other guy was in college too. We were in separate states, but we started, he started pursuing me during Christmas break, and we went out twice. And then over the next, you know, 2 months, when we were both back at our different colleges, he, you know, continued to pursue me. Like, we'd text each other and write each other and things. Well, after a little bit, he stopped communicating and sent me a message through Facebook. And it said, hey, Sarah, you're a really great girl. I've gone back with my ex-girlfriend. Have a great semester. And so it was like, have a nice life. And it was hurtful, but I got over it. And so they eventually, that couple got married. And they have since moved to the town I live in. And I show up at church last week. And it was dark because I was a little bit late. And the lights were off because people were singing. And so I turn around right after singing, and they're directly behind me. Mm. So this couple that, you know, they got married, and they're sitting right behind me, and it was so uncomfortable. Like, I didn't say anything to them, and they didn't say anything to me, and we kind of, like, didn't make eye contact at all because it was that uncomfortable. But I just sat in church the whole time. I'm like, Lord, do I need to find a new church? Like, do I need to go to a different service or just find somewhere else completely? And I was praying about it, and it's like, I think the Lord really pressed upon my heart is that I don't come to church to meet guys. If I do, that's great. I'd rather meet a guy at church than at like a bar or somewhere else. But the thing is like, while this guy didn't choose me, I was just reminded in like John 15:16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And so even though he didn't choose me, the Lord chose me. Mm-hmm. And I go, you know, I want to go to church because to put my heart before the Lord and to set my mind on things above rather than just guys. And so it's okay that, you know, there is that seriously, that, and I'm sure it'll be there for a while, that feeling of awkwardness and the fact that they are at my church, which I feel like I was here first. But mm-hmm. but the thing is, it's like, you know, that's just not who the Lord had for me in mind. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And, it, you know, we can still be friends. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be awkward. But something, unless the Lord is really calling you to leave that group, that small group or that church, I don't think you need to leave.
Mm-hmm. I had that happen to me with actually with a couple guys. I seem to date guys and then they immediately get married to other people. So I tend to really spur them along, which is good. But I had one guy that, like, you know, we went out and then he was kind of emailing me a little bit because it sounds similar to your story, like in communication. But then I recognized that in one email he like said I was sharing something and he responded with, well, be encouraged, sister. Oh. And I'm just like, oh, that's not good.
No.
That is not good. And
I do think people do that.
Quickly married someone else, you know, dated her and whatever. And so it is kind of that. You do kind of have to mentally separate yourself and just say, okay, this is not a personal, you know, I take everything so personally. It's a rejection. Mm-hmm. And there is that feeling of rejection in a sense. But at the same time, you have to say, okay, look, it's not like I'm going to marry every person in the world. I'm going to marry one person if I do get married. And so I have to be rejected a number of times. Otherwise, I need to live in Utah, you know. So it's just. There has to be a balance.
Yeah, and I think, too, like one of the things that the mindsets that we have to have in dating is to help the person that we're dating towards a future marriage, whether it's you or them. And that we generally, as we care for them, are like, you know, if I'm dating a girl, to think, I want you to marry a great guy, whether it's me or somebody else. And I want, like, if you end up marrying another guy, I want him to thank me for the way that I dated you. Mm-hmm. You know, that what we did in a dating relationship actually builds you up and helps you, instead of, you know, you leave and you have all this baggage and, like, you know, all these hard things. And I think we have to think of dating as it can be an enriching experience for you, where you, even if you don't marry each other, that you are better off moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so then when you see somebody who you dated and even liked, you're like, you know, I dated you hoping that you would find somebody, and I'm glad that you did. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of diffuses the awkwardness, instead of like, oh, you picked this other person and not me, and like, and then it kind of plays on our insecurities. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, it's easy to say that, but I think, you know, our goal for dating is to help them get to marriage, whether it's to us or to somebody else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, because you are. I mean, as I can't remember if it was Candace that said this first, or who, or Kevin DeYoung. There are so many people that say stuff like this. But that whole idea of you are dating someone's future spouse. Mm-hmm. And whether or not they become your spouse, you know, that's fine or whatever. But the fact is, you know, you have to treat one another with kindness and with purity in that sense. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, I mean, I feel like it takes practice to do that. Yeah. I think our natural inclination is to run away from people or to be weird or junior high-ish and stuff and be like, oh my goodness, I can't even talk to them because they asked me out 6 months ago. You know, and it's just like, no, force yourself to go up and talk to them and establish a normal pattern of relating so that you can have just an open, normal relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think if you make it a big deal, it will be a big deal.
Right.
Sure.
If you're just like, hey, so it didn't work out, that's okay.
Yeah.
There's someone else for both of us.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
then it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. And going on dates is good practice, I think.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We could all be better communicators, or we could all be nicer to each other. And so I just think it can be good practice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. So, well, thanks you guys for weighing in. Hopefully this will be helpful to our listener who wrote in about it. And again, you know, I think it just takes prayer and takes being in community and just, again, showing kindness to one another and treating them as not only as Christ treats us, but as we're called to treat one another in the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. So good thoughts, guys.